I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Donovan Mitchell was wearing a Lamar Jackson jersey yesterday. A lot of people were upset. There you go. Tone, your thoughts.
I saw a lot of the fallout from that, and it never surprises me. It never surprises me that fans are in a different headspace than professional athletes.
He's getting on the plane, what looks like at Hopkins Airport, and he was wearing a Lamar Jackson, purple Lamar Jackson jersey.
Yeah, because fans still think of rivalries in a certain way. They still think of, hey, if you play for a Cleveland team, then you've got to be in it with us. You've got to support our guys. And just in doing this as long as we have and getting to know athletes, like, they just don't. They don't think of it the same way.
I don't think he supports the Ravens.
They're not.
I think
he might, though.
I think it's the opposite.
Or he might support Lamar Jackson when he plays for the Ravens against the Browns.
He's just a real big Ravens fan, is what you're saying?
When Lamar Jackson is on the Ravens and they're playing the Browns, yeah. If he's friends with Lamar Jackson, he's probably rooting for the Ravens. They don't think of it the way that our fans who are from Cleveland, a lot of people here born and raised or left and came back, they just are very different than us. They're always going to be different. So I'm not surprised that fans would go crazy. But if you take a step back and think about friendships and what they care about, and knowing that athletes are never as beholden. Like the Aaron Rodgers being in Green Bay as long as he is, that normally doesn't happen. In professional sports, athletes know, especially when they're at the top of the heap in high school, where they now switch high schools every year, or then move out of state to academies or prep schools, and then they get into the college world, and now because of the transfer portal, they then transfer to another school, sometimes East Coast to West Coast or Midwest to the South. Like, they are not in it for the long haul. Like the fans who are here raising families here, like, they're not as committed to the city. Let's just put it that way. And they're never going to be.
I'm looking to see if Deshaun Watson or Donovan Mitchell have ever, like, hung out. Because then it would go back to, like, okay, then they're friends too, and so maybe he just wants to see a good game. I was just trying to dispel what you were
saying.
Donovan
went to college with Lamar, right?
Well, they're
both Louisville guys.
At the same time?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar
was probably at the student union together.
Yeah, they were literally there at the exact same time.
Yeah. Well, then they're good friends.
Well, I don't know that they're good friends. I have no idea.
He's wearing his jersey, so they're clearly friends.
Or maybe they're just fans of each other. But all I'm saying is, regardless of any of that, like, did you think Donovan Mitchell is going to be screw the Ravens, screw the Bengals? Like, that's not how a lot of these professional athletes.
I didn't think so either. Don't turn it on me. I'm fine with him wearing a Ravens jersey. I'm fine with him wearing a Lamar Jackson Ravens jersey. If he was wearing like a Ray Lewis jersey, I ain't gonna lie, I wouldn't be too very thrilled about it.
Yeah, there's not a lot of tie there.
Can I just say it? Like, it's you're in Cleveland, you can have your privacy, but if he was wearing like a Ed Reed jersey, I respect Ed Reed. Okay? But I wouldn't Nope. You can't do that.
I loved him at Bethune-Cookman.
But Lamar, easy. Lamar Jackson and he are friends, like, he can support Lamar Jackson. That makes sense looking back on it. But if you're just like, I'm a real big Ravens fan and I don't give a damn, well, I'd be like, come on, man.
No, I think he's probably a big Lamar Jackson fan. And if Lamar Jackson tomorrow is playing for Tennessee,
he'd be a big Lamar Jackson Tennessee fan. And that's fine.
And he'd root for them against
that's
the Browns, maybe. I don't know. Or in general, he just roots for the player. Which, probably is how a lot of the younger people think these days anyway, too. We've talked about that, how generations are changing, not just here, but everywhere, where they're buying jerseys, they're supporting the individual over the team.
Well, I would say you're right about that. They're both professional athletes. Donovan Mitchell has a guaranteed contract. I think he wants his friend to have a guarantee. It was just funny to me that they wouldn't be friends, but they would, I respect your game, I respect yours, and now we leave each other's company here at the University of Louisville. Like, it's a big place, but it can't be that big of a place when you're coming to great athletes here. But either way...
No, I was just saying that we just assume, they went to Louisville, they're both athletes, they've got to be best friends. They might not even like each other all that much. They might just support them.
If you didn't like a guy, you wouldn't wear his jersey.
We all made the same leap in our head that they're two unbelievable athletes. They've got to be best friends.
They went to Louisville together. How can they not be friends?
Kyrie played on the same team as LeBron James and won a championship together, and they hated each other's guts.
Professional basketball.
But they were
going to
get back together 2 months ago. They were going to get back together.
Maybe they were battling for NIL money behind the scenes, and it was a battle royale.
These guys play different sports, and they didn't have NIL at that time. They had something different at Louisville at that time, didn't they? With Rick Pitino. You know what? We don't need to go down that road right now. I'm just saying they were. I can't imagine they wouldn't be good friends if he was wearing his jersey. I would not wear a jersey if I were an athlete of a guy I didn't like back in college. I would not wear his jersey.
Well, now they trade jerseys after the games, whether they like each other
or
not.
No sense.
Dylan Brooks. Kyrie gave his jersey yesterday to Dylan Brooks, and Dylan Brooks went to give his jersey to Kyrie, and Kyrie walked away.
Good for Kyrie. Good for him.
Kind of like, no, you're not in my tier. You could take my jersey. I'm not taking yours.
My God, that's crazy. Also, someone's posted an ESPN. John has sent us an ESPN article. Inside the friendship Lamar Jackson and Donovan Mitchell formed as Louisville Cardinals.
But so that's why
I told you they were friends.
So that's, yeah, but you didn't know. You were just assuming.
I assumed they were friends.
But so that's why you know, fans will always have a different. They're just not going to ever feel the same way about this stuff. They see Donovan Mitchell, Cleveland, through and through. He said all these great things about Cleveland. Then he's wearing Lamar. We hate Lamar Jackson. We're supposed to hate Lamar Jackson as long as he's on that team.
I don't hate Lamar Jackson. I don't want him to beat the Cleveland Browns. I don't hate Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, you don't. But again, we're in a little different capacity.
I think it's changed. I think it's changed. I think with fantasy football, I think with just the general, how fans are now, I do think it's changed. We are more connected than we've ever been. We're on social media now. Most of us are in some form of fashion, whatever it might be. And I think a lot of us are connected and see that there are athletes that we like. And they play for other teams. And yes, I'm a Cavs, Browns, and Guardians fan. And there are players on the other teams that I like. I like Lamar Jackson. I try to not like Joe Burrow. I like Joe Burrow, but I don't want them to beat the Cleveland Browns. I want Joe Burrow to fail. I never liked Ben Roethlisberger. And I still don't like Ben Roethlisberger. So there's a difference there. But there's Pittsburgh Steelers I'm sure I respect. There's plenty of Steelers from the 70s that I respect. And Chuck Knoll was a good man. So I think that we can, if we're just being open and honest with ourselves here, I don't hate every single person. I don't hate them as people. Mm-hmm. I just don't want them to beat my favorite team.
Do fans by and large, I know we have the ability to separate, but do they separate?
I think a lot more.
Because I saw the reaction to that tweet that someone put up. Showing him wear that jersey, and it was a bunch of hate. It was a bunch of, you can't do this. You're tone deaf. How could you do this? So those fans are not able to separate that.
What time did they do that? Was that right after they saw the tweet, or was
this time after?
Because I think as time goes on, you go, all right, he's just supporting Lamar Jackson. That's what I think it was.
Mm-hmm. To some of the fans, was this LeBron wearing a Yankees hat flashback?
Well, I have a tweet here from Brad. It says, Donovan wearing Lamar's jersey is the same as when LeBron wore a Yankees hat at the Tribe game. Regardless, who cares? It's not. I don't know if LeBron knew any of the New York Yankees at that time.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think it is the same.
But I also would caution everybody, like, we've seen Myles Garrett help up after sacking Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter in the end? Does that mean the rivalry's null and void or non-existent, or the fact that they dap it up immediately after the game? It's just never going to be what fans want it to be or what it used to be, where the players really did hate each other's guts.
I told you before, and everybody made me out to be a bad guy. I really wish they wouldn't do the jersey exchange thing right there on the field after a loss.
Why'd they make that? That doesn't make you out to be a bad
guy. I got ripped up and down that I got my head up my ass, and I don't understand the modern athlete.
But fans,
I'm sure
just
you guys
don't
are all
see
friends.
It.
I'm
fans
sure
do not want to see that after the game.
You are putting
especially
on a,
when the Browns are losing every game.
You are putting on a show. Yeah, you're putting on a show. You're right there in the field. It's the workplace, and part of it is a performance. It is. And I understand that they are professional athletes, and they have earned their position just like you've earned their position, and I'm sure there's probably a mutual respect. And you guys can mutually respect each other in the tunnels. That's my thought of it. I mean, you got a lot of Browns fans. Like, if you have Browns fans leaving First Energy Stadium, a lot of them are really angry that they just lost a game. And here we are, smiles and hugs and daps and hand pounds and all that stuff. Why? Just go do that in the tunnel. You don't need to do that out here in the field. You can have your sportsmanship. That's fine. I get that. But when it comes to, like, the jersey exchange stuff, it makes people I think it makes people have less faith in your product that you're trying to sell them. If they don't give a damn, why the hell should I? And I don't like that. But I do think when Donovan Mitchell's walking onto a plane, and he knows his picture's going to be taken, and he did it for a reason, he's trying to make a statement for his friend who plays a different sport. And I think he made that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he were just Mr. Go Ravens all the time, I might be a little
annoyed. Yeah, if he was tweeting
that.
About him every day.
I might be a little annoyed
by
that.
There is a sensitivity to that I think you can have. But, you know, by and large, I still think, Kenny, that fans, especially the older fans, like I remember what year was it when William Green and Joey Porter tussled before the game? And I think they were taking literally trading blows.
Those were close.
I don't know
fists.
If they connected, but they did trade punches. And the fans, I remember I was around a bunch of Browns fans and they all erupted. They're like, yeah, that's the rivalry. I mean, do you think any of these coaches can talk rivalry credibly with their players during the week? Like, the players all say the right thing when they go, yeah, well, it's Pittsburgh week. We know what Steelers week's all about. Really hate the Steelers?
Well, I think the ones that are good, the ones will brainwash themselves into it. They will talk themselves into it. I think with Kansas City, you got to get yourself up for football games if you're Kansas City, or you're going to get real bored real quick, and then you're going to lose games. So Kansas City has to talk themselves into it. And if I were a Kansas City Chiefs player and you beat us at home and you got in your bus like John Gruden did and rode your bus around the stadium honking the horn, I'd probably be like, okay, now we're going to take this personally. So I like it when they do take things personally there, but I think some things have to happen for it to be taken personally there. I think there has to be a slight, like the Pac-Man Jones and Terrell Pryor stuff, part of you likes that because – I want them to care. I want them to care as much as we. We cuss each other out on social media for it. Why can't they? So you want some of that. But if it's a different sport, if it's a cross sport, I don't think it's that big of a deal. And I think he's trying to make a statement going, hey, pay Lamar Jackson or sign Lamar Jackson. He's my friend. Coming up next, Brian Baldinger, NFL Network analyst. We'll talk NFL with him. We'll talk Browns with him. Juan Thornhill, does he know who Juan Thornhill is? I know I did. Also, Justin Termini. We'll talk hoops with him at 9:20 on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, real quick, on the Donovan Mitchell thing, Patrick sent me a tweet, and I went, oh, my God, he's probably right. Ken, how many of these players these days even know the Ravens were the Browns? Just saying.
Oh, I always say that, yeah.
Because I remember the whole Jarvis Landry thing. Jarvis Landry didn't know that the Browns used to be, or the Ravens used to be the Browns.
But even if he did, you think that would trump his friendship with Lamar Jackson? I don't think it would.
No. It's a different sport. It's, you know, it's players versus owners. I can understand it. I'm fine with it. But it's just the point that Patrick makes going, yeah, I mean, if you're not from here or you're not from there, you might not know. Jarvis Landry did not know. A man who does know, Brian Baldinger. He joins us right now, NFL Network analyst. Follow him on Twitter, at BaldyNFL. Gives you the best breakdowns that you're going to find for free right there on Twitter. And also is great when he goes on vacation. His vacation videos are outstanding. And he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Good to be with you. Thanks.
It's wonderful to have you with us. And first off, you look at what the Browns have done or not done, depending on how you might feel, during free agency. Have they addressed their needs decently? I know the free agency or the offseason certainly isn't over, but do you think that the Browns have done a decent job of addressing what they need?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think, you know, first of all, you know, re-signing the center, Posick, was really important. Keep the interior of that offensive line together. But, you know, Dalvin Tomlinson is a quality defensive tackle. You know, besides missing a couple games last year, he'd been really healthy in his business, really steady. They had a big weakness at defensive tackle last year. You know, Jadeveon did not play well last year. And so I actually like Ogbo a lot, Okoronkwo. I just think he's an ascending player. He got a chance to start last year. He shows up. He's got some moves, I think, when he works with, you know, with Miles and some of the guys on the edge. I think, you know, I think he has a chance to really, in his second contract, really have a chance to step up. Obviously, there was a question mark at safety last year, and Juan Thornhill is a good player. So, you know, you just look at what they've done. You know, they got themselves a tight end, Jordan Akins, who, you know, knows Deshaun real well. So I think they did well.
You know, I'm really intrigued by the Tomlinson move because there's no doubt he's there to be more of a Band-Aid against that run. But the question is, how much can he be out there in passing situations? Because, you know, we know how this league is. We know the teams are going to want to throw the ball. And I know that he had one hurry per game. But what does it translate based on what you see in the film for Tomlinson?
Well, he's more of a run stopper. There's no question. But, you know, that was a question. That was a real problem last year in Cleveland. You know, they were at the bottom of the ranks and just, you know, rushing yards allowed. They were very weak up the middle. They got to get, you know, I thought, you know, everything from Taki coming back to Tomlinson to Thornhill. I think they're better down the middle of their defense, and it was a weakness last year. So the pass rush, you're going to try and get your four best guys out there or, you know, some combination of that. And he probably won't be out there in a lot of third downs and second and longs. But that's okay. There's a role for Dalvin.
Brian Baldinger joining us here on the show. You know, with the offensive line, like I got into a tussle yesterday and even this morning with some folks about trading for Jerry Jeudy and Wyatt Teller might be one of those guys they trade. And I said, well, I mean, I know that Wyatt Teller is going to be a Cleveland Brown forever, but I don't know why I'd go and create another hole. And one of the things that bothered me is that if I were to take a wide receiver that people know, Brian, and say that, well, we'll just replace him with a guy at the bottom of the depth chart, people get upset with me. But when we say it with offensive linemen, people don't bat an eye at it. I know they don't pay attention to that type of thing, but when you, as a former offensive lineman, does that bother you? Because I didn't even play at nearly at your level, and it bothers me.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, Wyatt Teller's just, he's just a really good player. Like, I don't, regardless of the position, I mean, you just don't want to get rid of good players. And, you know, in that position, so much of it is just continuity, playing with the center, playing with Conklin, whoever's at right tackle if Conklin's down. It's just, you just need that continuity. And, you know, when that group is playing well up front, I mean, Nick Chubb is running for a lot of yards, and they're just slicing and dicing the interior defensive lines like nobody's business. They're about as good an interior three as there is in a business right now. And you just don't want to break that up. And I mean, you can throw Jerry Jeudy at me. It's not apples to apples. That's for sure. I mean, Judy's had some days in his business that have been okay, but I think they're okay outside right now. The draft is full of wide receivers in every round. If they need one, if they feel like they need one, you can find one in the draft. These guys can, the way they're playing in college right now, I wouldn't give up my starting right guard for a wide receiver that, you know, has had some injury history there in Denver.
You know, a lot of the fans, in every market, you're hoping for sexy names because those are the guys that you know, the highlight reel guys, the guys in fantasy. But in reality, I mean, you just broke down the offseason for the Browns so far, and you've talked about addressing needs. In the end, do you think teams have gotten smarter about free agency, or do you still think there's still the GMs trying to make a splash too?
The teams that have a lot of money, you know, like Chicago and, you know, Detroit, some of these teams that had a lot of money, they went out and spent it. Green Bay sits on the sideline during free agency. I think it's one of the things that frustrated Aaron Rodgers is they don't get better. I mean, they haven't done a thing to help Jordan Love. Some teams just seem to do the same old things. Philadelphia seems to find more money than anybody, you know, to extend players and keep players and sign players and whatnot. I think, you know, by and large, a lot of these contracts are pretty inflated. You know, if these guys don't work out the way Johnny Johnson didn't work out, you got to be able to get out of these deals. You know, like you're trying to plug the hole. You're trying to find a player that, you know, it's not the designated hitter in baseball. You just can't take a home run hitter from one team and just plug him in and think he's going to do the same thing. So I think teams still make mistakes. The good ones seem to mitigate their mistakes more than other teams do.
Brian Baldinger joining us on the hotline. So we've only seen six games in a Browns uniform of Deshaun Watson, and it wasn't exactly the most encouraging. Some of it was understandable with all the time off. What did you see from him, and do you think any of his troubles with accuracy last year, which were very uncharacteristic, do you think that was mechanics? Do you think it had something to do with maybe distractions, a lot in his head? How do you think that'll play out this year?
I just think it really came, and his first game obviously was against Houston. We all knew it. He was awful. But anybody that thought that he was just going to be Deshaun Watson is crazy. Like, you got to play this sport, and you got to play it on a regular basis. You got to compete. You got to practice. You got to know who your teammates are. You got to practice with your teammates. He didn't do any of that. And, he's just out there playing. Like, I didn't expect him to be good, and he wasn't good. I thought he improved a little bit as the season went on. I thought he was, but by and large, he needs an off season with Amari, with, Njoku, just even the screen game to Hunt or to Chubb, whatever it might be. Like, all those things need work and a lot of practice. And this off season is paramount because he's got to play a lot better, but I think he will with practice, familiarity, with the new players, with the staff, the whole thing. You got a new defensive coordinator. All those things matter because of how you practice. So, like, I just think I don't want to just give him, tabula rasa and say it's a clean slate, but you got to give him a chance to really get out there every single day and work with these guys.
Brian Baldinger with us on the show. I want to go back to the stopping the run conversation there for a second, Brian, because there was a couple years ago we saw – yeah, teams like the Chargers, I think the Browns even experimented with it at times, where you saw seven defensive backs out there in an effort to try to stop the pass. And the Browns left themselves open with their defensive tackle situation, as you just talked about, and they got ran over. But there were other teams that got ran over. I mean, it was almost like a revitalization of running backs here over this last season. Is that a trend you see staying, or are we going to go back to quarterbacks here? Because, you did have a lot of injuries, and you do have that 17th game now. So how much does that affect those QBs as well?
Well, the good teams, I mean, if you look at, even a team like Kansas City, I mean, they were pretty good against the run. They weren't awful. You look at Philadelphia, and, they were in the Super Bowl last year. They weren't great against the run. They went to a five-man defensive front to try to stop it. Look, if you have a weakness, and Cleveland has had a clear weakness in the middle of that defensive line. Like, if you have a weakness, good teams are going to expose the weakness, whatever that might be. If you have a weak secondary, if you got a ragged right corner, good teams are going to go after it and expose it. And so you got to do your best to try to complete your team as much as you possibly can. I know Jim Schwartz really well. I know Schwartz, he's going to try to rotate his defensive line to keep them fresh. But anybody is going to tell you that you better stop the run first, otherwise you're going to just get a steady dose of it. And that's just the fact around the league right now.
How many decent defensive tackles do I need on a 53-man roster?
Well, you need at least three. You need at least three because, you know, the really good defensive tackles, like if you look at Dexter Lawrence in New York, he's a really good player. He's going to get a nice contract. He had his great – he was a Pro Bowler last year. He played a lot of snaps last year, and I think he wore down when he got to the playoff game against the Eagles. He wasn't very effective. So you better have at least three and probably four that you're going to dress every week, but four that you can really play. Like, you know, last year they're playing Taven Bryan and, you know, I mean, I could go through the list of guys that were up front there, Jordan Elliott or, you know, Tommy Togiai, whatever. You know, you better have four guys that you can rotate and you're not going to get a big drop off. You know, Kansas City has got Chris Jones. He's a monster inside. He's about as good as anybody in this business. But you got to rotate him. You know, you can't keep him out there for 80 or 90% of the snaps. He's going to get worn down as the season goes on. So you better have a four-man rotation right now that can really play.
You know, we've talked a lot about Deshaun Watson, and so much is going to revolve around how much better he plays. What kind of offense do you think best suits him? And knowing what Stefanski has done and done well in both Minnesota and Cleveland those first few years with Baker, what do you think the offense needs to look like this year?
Well, I think it's going to look a lot, you know, similar. I mean, there's not many teams that ran the ball 530 times last year like Cleveland did. I mean, it's going to be a run-first offense. And Deshaun can be a part of that. You know, I mean, Deshaun's got the ability to either pull the ball down, scramble. Even in the last six games, he still ran it like 35, 36 times. So, you know, he's carrying it, you know, six times a game, which is about as many as you want your quarterback to run, whether they're scrambles or design runs or whatever. You know, these guys, Lamar, Jalen Hurts, these guys run it a lot. I mean, look at them at the end of the season. I mean, Jalen with his shoulder, Lamar with his knee. Like, you just don't run them. You want them to run it as much. So I think it's going to be run-based, play-action pass, which makes sense. But when you got an Amari Cooper out there who's an elite route runner, your quarterback, you got to have your quarterback being patient with him. It takes time to win some of these routes, but he's going to win. And if you get off him too quickly, you're going to miss out on some big potential plays. And Njoku broke through last year. We're all waiting for it, and we saw it last year. Like, he can be an elite player at that position with his size, with his hands, with his ability to run. You know, and so I think it's going to be play action pass, run based. And then, you know, it's red zone offense is, you know, sometimes you just need Njoku to throw the ball up to, or Donovan Peoples-Jones. Like, you can design all the red zone offense you want, but if you're dropping eight into the end zone, there's not going to be a lot of holes in there. And so sometimes you just got to put the ball on top of the rim and let some of these guys go get it.
Brian Baldinger joining us on the show from the NFL Network, NFL Network analyst. Find him on Twitter at BaldyNFL. Brian, for linebackers, like, we've kind of had this flux of, we needed quick linebackers, guys who could really cover, guys who were fast. We got Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. He was good his rookie season. He was hurt last year. And I think they kind of had to play him out of place because they were so lacking in depth at the position. What are you looking for in a linebacker now where speed counts for everything? Do you have to play with heft? Do we need bigger linebackers? What are you looking for?
Well, I think you're basically playing, in most defenses, regardless if you're a 3-4, 4-3, it doesn't matter. You're basically playing two off-the-ball inside linebackers. And they've got to be able to play really well together to be able to stop the run. They got to be able to spill one play to the other. They got to play well together. They got to have a feel for each other. You know, and then, look, when you want to blitz, you're basically being man, some type of man coverage. And so can you cover the back out of the backfield? Can you cover the tight end? You know, those are the next step. And then if you're going to be in zone coverage and you're just going to rush four, like, you got to get depth in your drops and keep everything in front of you but still know what's going on behind you. So these every down linebackers that can do all these different things, you know, it's a unique skill set. Like, it was apparent in free agency when you saw the amount of linebackers get signed. Okereke getting signed by the New York Giants. It was a real weakness right there. But you saw a lot of linebackers get signed. Lavonte David, David Long goes to Miami. You know, Eric Kendricks goes to the Chargers. Tremaine Edmonds goes to Chicago. Like, there's a premium at that position. Guys that can be an every down linebacker. But to your point, I mean, if you're just going to go get, you know, guys the size of Owusu Koromoro, like, you know, you better be able to stay in there and handle, you know, some of these guys coming at you in the run game. So you got to be able to splatter guys. And so if you're just going to go get undersized guys that can run, well, you're going to give up something when you do that.
Brian, outstanding as always. We thank you very much for your time. All the best.
All right. You bet, guys.
Brian Baldinger, NFL Network analyst. Find him on Twitter, at BaldyNFL, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. A lot of stuff to break down from that one.
He says the offense is not going to change. He doesn't think it'll change that much. He still thinks a running offense.
I do think it's going to change. We'll talk about that coming up. And 9:20, just in Germany, we got the spring training report coming up where the home opener has sold out and a hell of a deal for everybody getting involved. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What do you think the offense needs to look like this year?
Well, I think it's going to look a lot, you know, similar. I mean, there's not many teams that ran the ball 530 times last year like Cleveland did. I mean, it's going to be a run-first offense. And Deshaun can be a part of that. You know, I mean, Deshaun's got the ability to either pull the ball down, scramble. Even in the last six games, he still ran it like 35, 36 times. So, you know, he's carrying it six times a game, which is about as many as you want your quarterback to run, whether they're scrambles or design runs or whatever. It's going to be play-action pass, run-based.
That's Brian Baldinger. That part I don't know. I don't know if I... Well, what do I want to see different? Do I want to see five wide every time? Is that what I want to see? Or do I want to see the oop-de-oop from Varsity Blues?
Who are the five?
Well, it's got to be Jerry Judy, Jerry Judy, Jerry Judy, Jerry Judy, and Jerry Judy, of course. It's got to be five Jerry Judys. Well, that's what's on Twitter yesterday. It's got to be five Jerry Judys.
It's a pentuple Judy.
Boy, he shot down the Jerry Judy thing quickly.
Boy, he really did, didn't he? He really did.
But the offense thing, look, we're going to talk about it until we see it. And Watson, in his six games with the Browns, I don't know, Kenny, do you think,
There's a pause.
Well, I'm processing because I just assumed that this thing was going to look drastically different. And he's saying, no, it's still going to be that running offense. And remember, that was a big part of the Nick Chubb discussion when we were just asking questions.
We're not going down that one.
But we were talking about what Chubb's carries are going to look like. And apparently, Baldy thinks they're still going to run the football. And we're not talking about, like, yeah, if you build a lead and you're running the football, that's different. Of course, we'd love that. We would love it if we don't have to throw the football in the fourth quarters of games.
I think they'll pass the lead and run to win, right?
Well, yeah, that's the hope. But when that doesn't work, what are they doing to get those leads?
They just lose a game. I think they'll be pass first, right?
Well, it didn't sound like Baldinger thinks that's going to be the case. Well, and that's it. Look, they did. It's not like they ran the ball every first down. We know that most coaches don't even believe in that
anymore. Is it okay to say that I kind of don't know what to make of it when we've kind of had everybody say that their offense is going to be different. And he's the first person to say their offense is going to be that different. I'm a little bit surprised to hear that out of Brian Baldinger. Is all I'm saying.
I was too.
I think it's difficult. So, I mean, what's their offense going to look like?
But look at their personnel though. They haven't changed the personnel on offense.
No.
So how? Obviously, it can't look like just stand in the pocket and throw the ball like it did at the beginning of the season.
No. So
it's got to be different that way, but there's no way they can go five wide with this roster.
What? Do you have five wide receivers?
No.
Other than 5 Jerry Jeudy.
One of them's 5'7", and he's a kick returner.
What are you trying to say, Owen?
He's not tall.
Well, also, I always thought that Kareem Hunt would be used in that way where they could line him up, and that just never came
to fruition. Well, according to the report, that the Kareem Hunt could possibly come back.
Yeah, saw that yesterday.
You go read that for everybody?
Well, I don't have the verbiage in front of me, but it sounded like the tweet said that it very well could happen. And then afterwards, the actual contents of the story was, it probably won't happen.
We have differing opinions of what very well means.
But I want to know, what is the market for Kareem Hunt at all? Because you saw Singletary signed yesterday. What was the other deal that was done? Damian Harris.
Mm-hmm.
That was a deal yesterday. Like, did Kareem Hunt, has he completely been devalued by his performance in Cleveland the last few years?
I mean, they didn't use him a whole bunch. They needed him. They ran him. I can't believe it, and I just think it's crazy. But I just subscribe to the thought that they ran him so much and played him so much on Halloween night to try to showcase him?
That was so weird.
This isn't the NBA. Trying to win a freaking football game, and you're trying to showcase him.
And then he kind of played well in that. I mean, he didn't have a great game, but he played pretty well in that game and got all this attention. It's like, why haven't they been doing this all year?
My phone better not light up and tell me that that's the truth. I'm going to be sick. I mean, not like I'm not sick, but like, how do I say it? Not that I'm sick about it. It's just, I don't want, come on.
I mean, Damian Harris signed a one-year, yesterday, Devin Singletary, a few days ago, was $3.75 million. And they were thinking that the Harris deal was probably around that. The official numbers hadn't been disclosed. I mean, Kareem Hunt was originally, wasn't he a two-year, $12 million contract?
Yeah.
And so is he even worth $3.75 now?
If you wanted to bring him back on a one-year deal, I'd be more than happy to bring him back on a one-year deal. That'd be fine.
But then what does that do to Jerome Ford? I mean, wasn't the whole point of drafting Ford that he was going to start to get, like, you would then not be able to develop him if they still had Kareem Hunt? And Dearness Johnson, is he?
I just look at it. I would imagine so. I just think the more the merrier when it comes to talent. But you're probably right about Kareem Hunt then. Because with Jerome Ford, I'm like, well, you want to develop Jerome Ford, because I was the one who said Jerome Ford is not necessarily Kareem Hunt's replacement. He's somebody else's replacement. But I thought that was next year, not this year. So I think that's part of what you're dealing with there. But I just look at talent. I go, well, put the talent out there in the field and figure out where it goes. If you have more running back talent than wide receiver talent, yeah, maybe it would tell you that you would run the ball more. But I think with a guy like Deshaun Watson, I think you're going to be spread it out a little bit more. You're going to use his athleticism. You're going to use those things. So in that case, I guess, I don't want to disagree with Brian Baldinger, but I have to on that, don't I? I'm a big fan of his. But
call up Baldy back. Tell him.
Don't
Ken
tell him that.
Vehemently disagrees.
Don't say vehemently
with his
do not,
analysis.
Don't use no.
I mean, it sounded vehement.
Don't do.
You were
that.
Being nice about
I'll
it, but
text
it was
him right now.
No, I hemmed and I hawed. I hemmed
me.
And I hawed. I don't want.
Do
him
you know
to
how to spell vehement?
There's an H in there.
It'll autocorrect though.
There's
You'll
an
be,
H
okay.
in there. That's true.
Yeah, we should be good.
216-474-0092 coming up at 9:20. Justin Termini, Sirius XM NBA. Do we want to go over one of the wildest ideas I think you've ever brought up to me coming up next? It's not about the Browns.
Bring it up.
It is not about the Browns. All right. You guys want to hear a wild-ass idea about Cleveland sports? You make sure you're listening coming up next on The Fan. I promise you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.